This is Stuart Rhodes filling in on Alex Jones for the Alex Jones Show on InfoWars. It's an honor to be here. And today I'm talking to some of my favorite people. And next one up is Suzanne Monk, who was one of the OG J6 advocates. And she's really, I got to thank her publicly for my being here, frankly. I wouldn't be here today. I'd still be in prison on an 18-year sentence, right along with Enrique Tarrio and all the other guys who have been riding Joe Biggs, 17 years. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for Suzanne. She wrote the book, How to Pardon the J6ers, and she really was behind the campaign to make that something that President Trump felt compelled to promise and then follow through on. So I want to welcome Suzanne to the show. How are you doing, Suzanne?
I'm doing good. And Stuart, thank you for saying that. And, you know, you guys' justice and you guys' freedom was such a part of my goal. You know, I spent all of the 4 months with the Proud Boys in the trial there, and I didn't get a chance to pop in and see you guys' trial. But, you know, I spent the time with my guys. I was talking with Zach in 2023 in the fall, and, you know, we were all looking for Donald Trump to be the salvation because we knew the courts were not going to give us that justice. And it frightened me that Trump might not be able to live up to that promise, that he might, you know, promise more than he was able to live up to. So I made the commitment to give him every absolute thing he needed throughout 2024, the J6 defendants database, all of the information he needed, and to give him the public mandate and the pressure. We made it an election issue. At the time of the election, 68% of all likely voters in the country believed that the January 6ers should get pardoned. So we did great work. And it was people like David Summerall and Tim Rivers at the American Gulag Chronicles and Marie Goodwin and so many other activists, you know, Mama Mickey down at Freedom Corner, that made it possible. So it was my honor. It was my honor to serve you guys. And it's really my blessing to see you guys free.
Thank you. And the reason why I brought you on is that exactly, that you were successful in, you call it pressuring President Trump, focusing President Trump on something that was a bedrock necessity, is justice for the J6ers. Now, there are still 12 of us who are still waiting for pardons. I'm going to have a chance at Mar-a-Lago. President Trump will be there on Friday. I hope I get a chance to shake his hand, you know, and sincerely thank him for setting me free, but then asking him to go ahead and pardon the other 12. And I want to list their names real quick. There are myself, these are 8 Oath Keepers, David Morshall, Joseph Hackett, Joe Big, Jessica Watkins, Kelly Meggs, Robert Minuta, Ed Vallejo, and then there are 4 Proud Boys, Joe Biggs, Zach Real, Dominic Pozzola, Ethan Nordine. So they still need pardons, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. But the big picture point is that the base, and with you as a leader in that effort, were able to convince Trump to do the right thing, despite all of his advisors around him who were telling him not to. He had people in his campaign for 2024 telling him this, you know, you shouldn't do this, this is a mistake, and he didn't listen to them. Instead, he listened to you. And that's what I want to talk about, is how do we get President Trump back on track with his purpose? You know, he was saved by God in Butler, Pennsylvania, for a reason, and it wasn't to make war on Iran or have foreign trade deals or you know, anything else. It was to take down the demonic pedophiles of the deep state. I believe that's why he was saved by God, was to take down the deep state and to restore our republic. What say you? And how do we do that? How do we get him back on track?
Well, let me just correct you on one thing. He didn't listen to Suzanne Monk. Suzanne Monk is, you know, one little ant that knows how to move a rubber tree plant or two. He listened.
Well, that's why I want you to tell us. Tell us how to do it.
He listened to the American people. He listened to that voter mandate. He listened to the massive amount of attention and pressure that the voters were giving him. And one of the problems we are having right now with President Trump is we are allowing the lobbyists, we are allowing those big money folks to be around him. This Trust Trump movement that we have had is the absolute opposite. It is the nail in our coffin.
What do you mean? What do you mean the Trust Trump movement? What do you mean by that?
This idea where you are not going to give President Trump the pressure, the attention, the mandate to do the things that he promised. We the people need to be calling the White House every single day, demanding that those promises get met. That is the engagement. That is how we the people lobby the President of the United States. We use our voice. We're not AIPAC. We're not CARE.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot.
and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. Stuart Rhodes filling in. I want to make sure you know that InfoWars is having a really awesome sale that ends tomorrow night, the March Mega Sale, up to 40% off at thealexjonesstore.com. You can get NAD Plus, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, Methylene Blue, tinctures and capsules. And you can also get iodine, 50% off for VIPs, 25% off for everyone else. And please text InfoWars, all in one word, to 342581. That's 342581. Just text that with InfoWars to get a free methylene blue tincture with the purchase of any other product. That deal ends tonight. Please support the Alex Jones fight at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, we were talking to Suzanne Monk. Suzanne, I somehow missed the music for the break. So you were talking about
I get excited when we talk about this stuff.
Yeah, so we have got to the base. And of course, you're correct. It is the base. And I've always said that President Trump simply rode a wave that already existed into the White House. You call it MAGA, America First. You can call it the hardcore patriots, the Tea Party movement. It's all the same wave of Americans that want to put this country first. How do we get him to refocus on that mission?
First thing we got to do is we got to realize that we have got to engage this president, and we have got to be telling him what, reminding him the promises, encouraging him when he is living up to those promises, but critiquing him when he is not living up to those promises, giving that public pressure. We all have to understand right now, you know, every day, all day, lobbyists are in his ear. His chief of staff is a lobbyist. Susie Wiles, lobbyist for Qatar, lobbyist for the nation of Venezuela, former campaign worker for Benjamin Netanyahu. She's in his ear constantly. All of these big people.
And for Big Pharma, right? Wasn't she
and
also?
Big Pharma, right. Bayer, all of these. You know, Thomas Massie has been calling that out. So that is the interest that is in his ear constantly, constantly, constantly. And when we sit back and go, give them time, just trust Trump, he's got it. What we're actually doing is we're abandoning him. I feel he's in basically a hostage situation with these globalist agendas. And if we are not in there, we, the American people, are not providing him the mandate, that pressure to do the right thing, what we expected, he is left to their whim and their devices. So
that's
we
a good
have
way
got
to put
to
it. So he's a hostage.
Correct.
And
correct.
Does he have Stockholm syndrome? Is that what's going on? He's starting to think that these are really his friends when they're not really his friends. Right.
Because he's in that echo chamber. And I can tell you right now, calling the White House does make a difference. 202-456-1111. You can call Tuesday through Thursday, 11 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let them know. Look, if you're for the war, go ahead and call for that. If you're against the war, go ahead and call for that. What I want people to do is engage this president and have the citizens re-engage what they feel. Because when he was on Twitter, when he was on X, back in that first term, there was direct citizen engagement. That is how we got the president that knew he was the torchbearer of MAGA, not the king of MAGA.
So how do you reach
him? Now he's got Susie and the neocons talking in his ears, and he can't hear our voice. We have to make our voice heard, heard by Trump again.
So he was on X reading all of our comments back to him back then, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Or on True Social. But that's
much more than now. There was much more engagement than there is in this second term. And it's because he's been isolated deliberately. And we know why. The deep state needs to control him. They need to make sure he doesn't do what he's put there. What we, the people, put him there.
So that's good news.
Him there to do.
That's good news. Yeah. The fact that they have to isolate him and separate him from being able to read our comments. And he only watches Fox News, apparently.
Correct.
That shows us that they're afraid of him interacting with the base, that we can still
influence. They're afraid of what happened on January 20th, Inauguration Day. They're afraid that we, the people, will have worked hard enough to let him know what we expect, and we will be standing there with receipts and with news cameras demanding that he does the things he needs. They are afraid that we are going to engage him in a supportive manner, just like we did on that day. We were so happy to see him inaugurated, but we were there right there to say, okay, President Trump, day one is what you said, and we're here. We are trusting in your promise so much. We're going to stand in the freezing cold at 80 different jails across the country to make sure that we're ready for your promise. That's the kind of pressure we, the people, need to be putting on him on every single issue. And because we're not doing that, we are not getting the results.
So what's your advice, since you've been there and done that, you and all the other warriors for J6ers, what's your advice now in the current environment of how to put that positive pressure on him?
Well, one, we do need to start calling the White House on a regular basis, and it does not take much to, as I say, melt the phones, where you actually give them more call volume than they're able to manage. And when we were working to get the additional J6ers free, and I know there are even still a few that, you know, Ed Kelly right now still needs an additional pardon, still sitting in jail for DOJ and FBI. So
he just broke up. She said Ed Kelly is still in jail. It's under a life sentence, under a supposed plot to murder the FBI agents involved in his investigation. Is that what it was?
The exact same FBI agents and the exact same prosecutors operated both corrupt cases. And as we know, that J6 case was systemic denial of rights.
Absolutely.
And the same tactics were used by the same criminal prosecutors and criminal FBI agents. Violations of 18 U.S.C. 241, violation of deprivation of rights under the color of law. They committed crimes in that courtroom, and they committed crimes in the courtroom again. President Trump needs to issue that second pardon for Edward Kelly. You guys need the pardon. Restitution needs to be served. There are still J6ers who are serving probation. I don't understand how that didn't get pardoned out in the sentence, but that is still the case. There are a lot of problems. And in the states, they are reinitiating lawfare on all sorts of J6ers in any way possible, including J6 attorneys. So,
how do folks follow what's going on with that? They should follow you on X?
Yeah, follow me. Follow J6 Patriot News. Follow Stop Hate. Definitely keep up with Stop Hate. Stuart, they should obviously follow you. Follow Enrique. Follow the War Boys Studios. They'll keep you up on a lot of that. You know, the community is still very present and still very much fighting for this.
And what's your X handle?
My ex handle is at Trumpertarian. So,
Trumpertarian. Okay.
Yeah, it's just going to be a little thorn in Trump's side, I think, for the next little while.
Don't change it. Keep that.
I do not. I intend to make sure I remind him that I spent 10 years of my life supporting him. I made sure that he was living up to those promises. That's a service to President Trump to make sure that he lived up to those promises. I want to continue to do that. And I think we, the people, need to join in and make sure we give Trump that service to put him in the right again. He's in the wrong right now. This war is wrong. How he's engaging with Israel is wrong. We need to get the foreign lobbying out of our country, that foreign influence. And that's what I'm going to be working on going forward.
Now, on that, you had the J6 PAC. So tell us.
J6 Pardon Project. Yeah. Patriot Action PAC was the name of my PAC that I've ran since 2017. We ran the J6 Pardon Project. We ran Operation Yellow Ribbon before that, which dropped off copies of the American Gulag Chronicles. to every member, all 535 members of Congress. That was what really changed that narrative in Congress, from thinking you're all insurrectionists to actually having members of Congress who are willing to fight for you. Even now, we just went over and provided new copies of the trilogy to all of the members of the J6 subcommittee who are still working on that, because they need to continue to be informed. We need to be litigating that lawfare that went on in the courts. That's on court record. We can right. talk about the pipe bomber and all this. I call J6 the grassy knoll of our time, but that lawfare is on court record, and so we should be prosecuting that. We're pushing those members to push forward for those criminal referrals of those prosecutors and those judges.
So that's part of the strategy, is to put pressure on members of Congress, make them aware of the truth so they can't claim ignorance, and put pressure on them to support what you want President Trump to do.
Well, and that's a good thing you mentioned it, because we're running something I'm calling Operation No Nuke. Back in 2023, President Biden was Operation No Nuke. That is correct. Back in 2023, President Biden was using the nuclear war rhetoric to push back against Russia. It was very dangerous. It was really something that the American military should never be threatening. And so as a Republican, I called, and several of us did, every Democrat member of Congress, because obviously he gets in the list of the Republicans, we called every Democrat member of Congress and asked them to tell him to tone it down.
Right.
And in fact, 2 weeks later, I'm sure it's not just because of us. I'm sure there was a lot of pressure. You know, there's a lot of people who do not believe in nuclear war and the use of nuclear weapons. So, you know, they did in fact do that, and he did in fact tone it down. And I think it's time to do that again. So we're going to be calling members of Congress. I'm encouraging everyone to reach out to your member of Congress and tell them to use their pressure, use their leverage to get Donald Trump to tone down this nuclear war rhetoric. He's walking the line. He's never saying he's going to maybe drop. He doesn't say I'm dropping a nuke, but when you say you're going to turn, you can turn Iran into a country that cannot be used ever again. We all know what you're saying, sir, and it's not appropriate, right. And it's escalating the situation in very dangerous ways.
Here's one quote from Trump, President Trump. We could take Iran out this afternoon. We could take them out in an hour. They'd never be able to build their country back. That's what you're talking about, right?
Okay. Yeah, that we all know what that quote means. There's only one weapon in the world that can actually do that, and it's a nuclear bomb.
Okay.
And so we are not trying to escalate this conflict into a nuclear conflict, and to have President Trump, just like President Biden, which is so unfortunate, use that as a tool to rattle the saber is unacceptable. So we want to use the pressure of Congress to get him to calm it down.
So back to these strategies. If we want President Trump to get back on track to the Make America Great Again, America First, I mean, the first 3 months were fantastic, 3 or 4 months with Doge. If we want to get him back on track, you advocate burning up the White House phone lines, calling members of Congress, burning up their phone lines. And I'll tell you, that does work. When I worked for Congressman Ron Paul in Congress 1998-99, he had started the Liberty Committee, and that was the strategy of the Liberty Committee, was to use patriots in every district of Congress, because congressmen only care about people from their own district. So if you your congressman, you burn up, whether they're Democrat or Republican, you burn up their phone lines with what you want them to do, all they know is they're getting 100 calls a day. They don't know if that's the tip of a really big iceberg.
40. Yeah. And it's more like 40. Here's the math that they do in Congress. For every one person who actually calls, they believe 1,000 people back home believe that. Yeah. So if 10 people call, it's 10,000. If 20 people call, it's 20,000. About 40 calls will totally wreck their phone call structure and make that poor little intern just be answering calls all day. Mm-hmm. That certainly gets the attention. So that's about the melting point, right? We like to call it. It's pretty easy to reach. We the people have far, far, far more power than we ever believe we do.
And that's only because when it comes right down to it, every politician, no matter what their rhetoric, cares about one thing, re-election. Mm-hmm. They're worried that if their own constituents, where they live, that they're going to have to rely on, at least in part, even if the corrupt election system will otherwise win it for them, they're still worried about the public pressure from their own electorate. Yeah. So burn their phones up, and not just the D.C. phone line, also their district phone, too.
Yes, and those are sometimes easier to even get through because, you know, they have, you know, smaller staffs there. And, you know, you can always check the congressional schedule to find out if they're at home or if they're up in Congress. You can also call the committees, you know, things like the Oversight Committee, things like, you know, the Judiciary Committee. They have smaller staffs as well. And we're going to be doing some direct pressure calls to action on some of those committees, on some of these issues going forward, particularly trying to get these foreign lobbying groups, these groups that lobby for foreign interests like AIPAC, like CARE. They're domestic funded, but that is a loophole that the foreign governments use to be manipulate our government. We need to get that out of our system. It's obviously exploiting the whole country into something the American people do not want.
Yeah. So your representative winds up working for AIPAC or CARE rather than for you, his constituents. Yeah. So you're starting a new PAC about that. What's it called?
We're gonna rebrand Patriot Action PAC because I think we have come to a point where we need to focus on America as a unit, America first, America only. And so we are going to rename our PAC just U.S. PAC, and our focus is going to be removing foreign influence from our system, from our government system. And we're going to start with AIPAC, and we're going to start with CARE. We're going to start with the CCP. And I'm keeping my eye on Russia, too. All of those are Qatar. All of those are countries that have had direct and constant influence. But look, the reason we're all starting with AIPAC is we know they are the biggest one. The math, it shows they are the most influential.
Well, they're the biggest ones out in the open. I would say the CCP behind the scenes also bought a lot of members of Congress. I'm sure
100%. And this is why we have to keep our focus not just on one group, but on foreign money as a whole. You know, there are many groups that are tracking, like Track AIPAC. They will show you who takes money from that group, other groups as well. None of that should be legal. And we do have Just Us PAC is going to be working on some legislation suggestions that will amend the Foreign Lobbying Registration Act to require these proxy groups register, and also to just go further to ban foreign lobbying in Congress altogether. We should not have foreign interests able to pay money to influence the United States. We are a citizen governance. We are self-governed.
That should be a no-brainer.
Self-governed if foreigners are paying to influence it. It's insane.
That should be a no-brainer. But before, you know, we get legislation passed through Congress, we can still burn their phones up and say, if you are taking AIPAC money, you need to stop now and pledge never to do it again. Of course, while we're at it, we should be running patriots against them and purging them out in the primaries where we can.
But we have a real opportunity right now to really impact them greatly because the midterms are right upon us. And so we, as the citizens, can get in and talk to those candidates. They're running around doing those meet and greets, doing those opportunities where it's easy for you to get in front of them and say, we want you to pledge no money from foreign interests, no money from CARE, AIPAC, CCP, any of these foreign interests. We want you to pledge to push legislation that will get those foreign interests out of our legislation, out of Congress.
So let's take
so we can get in right now and really push the narrative towards that. That's how we did it with J6. We made it an election issue, and we made more and more candidates come out and say, I support J6. I support the J6ers getting pardoned. That's how we moved the whole narrative off of shouldn't they get pardoned to some or all, and you saw what the result was.
We now, got on that point, you've got 12 of us left. So for the folks that live in the districts where us 12 reside, like I live in the Hill Country down there, you can go to your local rep when he's running for whatever office, if he's your rep still sitting in Congress, who has a chance to advocate for a J6er who needs a pardon, who still needs a pardon, like one of us 12, or Tina Peters being freed. I mean, everyone in the country should be pressing their representative about Tina Peters. Support President Trump and encourage President Trump in freeing her as a material witness, for example. So when they're at a candidate's town hall, whatever they're running for, you go, like Chip Roy right now, it's my congressman, He's now running for state level office in Texas. So folks can go and pressure him to do the right thing when it comes to all of this, all these issues. But you're saying no matter what the issue is, go in front of them in, at the town halls and hold their feet to the fire and doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I'm putting
Democrat,
pressure on President
Democrat
Trump.
Or Republican. Democrat or Republican. Let me say this. So it's so important, especially right now when we have this president in office. You're probably going to find Democrat representatives willing to push back against him and give him a little leverage and a little what's what. Because of that, use that again, use that leverage.
He's not going to care about that. But what he will care about.
My point is, don't stand down because your representative is a Democrat. Don't do that. We went to every single office. We've had great conversations in Jasmine Crockett's office and Eric Swalwell's office. These are people who hate us, but we get in there and we still bend that narrative and we still shape the staffers. And it's really the staff that's running these individuals. Yeah. These figureheads of Congress members are a fraction of the process. Getting in into the staff is really, and you know, sharing that dialogue. Don't be afraid of that is what I'm saying. And frankly, we should be pressuring. I understand the governor of Colorado is a Democrat. I don't care. We should be calling the governor and lieutenant governor of Colorado every single day with this message. Tina Peters is a political prisoner of the state of Colorado. And until she is released, these calls will continue. And I can tell you, it would be so easy to give him to make it very uncomfortable, politically, patriotically, citizen-based, to make it very uncomfortable for Colorado to continue to hold Tina Peters. The federal government is doing their part to put that pressure, to get that legal.
I think President Trump should just go get her.
They need to bring, but it's a two-form system, right? Yeah. Colorado is always going to push back against the federal government unless it's uncomfortable for them to not push back. We, the people, have to get involved on every level in these fights. We can't stand aside and let the president and the lobbyists and the DOJ and the deep state and the blue states fight it out by themselves. We
can't. Todd Blanche continue to be what he is.
Right.
So, okay, agreed. I agree 100%. We should push on every level of government. We should push on the Colorado legislature, push on the prosecutors who put her in prison, push on the governor. Yeah. But we should also push President Trump. It's not the case 100%. He's doing all he could, because he could just go get her, like Ivan Reichlin and I have been saying for months now, as a material witness, just go rescue her. That's what he should be doing. So burn the phone lines up at the White House too, Americans, for Tina Peters. Free Tina Peters, there's no excuse. But you're right.
No.
Do me a favor. Do you have this written out, like written advice to people of how to do all of this?
I want you guys to follow my Twitter handle. As we form Just Us PAC and the website, we'll be, you know, doing a newsletter so people can get those calls to action on a regular basis.
We should co-author like a lessons learned how to on how to do this.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Or you write it.
It's not rocket science.
But it'd be nice to have that out for people to see.
I'm special. I'm just really committed and I'm really dedicated. These techniques are things that anybody can use. Any group of Americans can use. Frankly, you know, folks on the left have done it better than we have in many cases. We need to just step up and we need to reach across the aisle. You guys, there are a lot of people in that independent category, in that not really happy with their totally communist.
There's a whole bunch that crossed over and voted for Trump.
Want the same things we do.
Right.
So don't be afraid of that.
Excellent. Well, you write it up. Just write up your, like, a bullet point. Here's what you do to put pressure on Congress critters or whoever else. You put that out and I'll help promote it. Well, Suzanne, so last thing you want to tell folks is follow you on X at Trumpertarian. Yeah. And they can also go to patriotactionpack.wixsite.
Yeah, Wix site. We're going to link the new domain, but that is where the J6 Pardon Project is archived. And you can read the book. You can see exactly what we did. We didn't change anything from the website. We've left it just how we had it. I'm very proud of the work that we did. It was a successful project. And I think we can have more success with getting this president to follow what the base elected him to do if we just put the work in.
Amen. Don't give up. And condolences on the loss of your husband.
Thank you so much, Stuart. So much appreciated.
God bless. All right, folks.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell. And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway. And a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. But I got blown up in Iraq. I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
It's Stuart Rose filling in for Alex Jones today, having a great time talking to my good friend Suzanne Monk. We're going to keep on going. Suzanne, I want to just, I don't know if you heard earlier my interview with Sean Witzman, another J6er, but I just want to clarify something up right out of the gate. My personal background, my mother's side of the family were from Mexico originally. My great-grandfather and great-grandmother emigrated from Mexico. He fought in the Mexican Revolution with Pancho Villa, of all people. But then when he realized that revolution turned into yet another dictatorship, as too often happens in Mexico, Him and my great-grandmother came north for liberty, and they became Americans. And the ethos back then was that you assimilate. So all their sons, my great-uncles that were old enough to fight, fought as infantry across the Pacific, island hopping from island to island. And then my mother, who did not even meet her own father, he was killed in World War II. He was a B-17 crewman. She was bilingual, but raised us. She raised my sisters and I. I'm a quarter Mexican. But she raised us to be English only. She refused to teach us Spanish. And I wish she had not done that. It would have been useful. I'd have had half of the hemisphere, you know, the western half of the world, licked when it came to languages. But she did that because the ethos was to assimilate back then. But the ethos now is not to assimilate. They're being encouraged. Every immigrant that comes into the United States is being encouraged by the left to not assimilate, to not learn our language, to not become Americans. In fact, to hate America, that America is intrinsically evil and deserves to be conquered. Whether it's the Reconquista for the Hispanic supremacists, or whether it's Islam being encouraged to not assimilate and assist the Marxists, the Red-Green Alliance, to take down the America and take down the West. That's my problem with immigration. So until we fix that, that's why I said what I said when I was talking to Sean. His uncle, I believe it was his uncle, had been a Muslim immigrant into America or into the West and loved the West. And so there are exceptions to that rule, but the problem is that's not the norm now. That's why I'm a hardcore America only. And if I had to make a choice, I'd say deport them all, everybody. And then we can figure it out after that.
Yeah, and we need to, we need to understand that, we cannot have communities of any kind running on their own laws. It's not just, the Islamic community. Oh, we do see communities, they have their own police. But it's the same thing with the, Orthodox Jewish community, with the Mormon community out in the West. They create enclaves where they choose to impose their laws on their own people. And that's not how we're this is where we have these pockets of criminal activity that are across the board. In all of those settings, we see women not being, marriage rights not being protected, women not being protected in the marriage. It's very difficult when you isolate communities to protect women and children. And that's what we see a lot of the problems with right now, with the pedophile rings that we see going on, with all of the sex trafficking, and frankly, with a culture of that. So we need to deport those folks. I agree. But we also need to assimilate, even if you're here in the United States. Even the Amish have found a way to isolate themselves, but yet engage. They all came out and voted. They're not asking for anything. They're not engaging. They're not living off the welfare systems like many of these other groups are. And that's just not acceptable. I don't want to be, if you want to go live off the grid, that's on you, but please don't make me pay for it.
Right. And it's one thing to say they're going to live out their religious convictions on a covenant community or whatever. But that's not what Islam is. It's not, please leave us alone, we're just going to live in our enclave. No, it's we're going to do, loudspeaker public calls to prayer, which when I was in prison, they would do that. They would step out of their cell, and they, as loud as they could, they'd do the prayer call. And that's marking territory. It just is. It's marking territory.
And we see the same thing, in New York with, some of the Hasidic communities. We see the same thing out, in Utah with some of the Mormon communities. And there's a lot of political influence there that those communities exert over the government and utilize the services. That's really one of the problems. We have such vast, massive welfare services that we have these organizations that are actually paying for to undermine American culture and American values.
Like the Somalians in Minnesota, right?
With our tax dollars. And that's got to stop. That is absolutely insane. And, it is one thing to live your free life on your own dime. It
is a whole other thing. That brings up Tommy Robinson. So, in fact, the Stay Awake America Tour, I'm speaking on the 21st. They're having an event the 20th and 21st of March this month in St. Lucie, in Port St. Lucie, Florida. You go to stayawakeamerica.com. You can check that out. But Tommy Robinson is going to be a guest speaker along with myself. Enrique Tarrio is going to be there on the 21st. So if you're anywhere near Florida, and want to come meet us, you know, J6 stalwarts, and meet Tommy Robinson, come to the Stay Awake America Tour event on March 21st in St. Lucie, Port St. Lucie, Florida. Hoping to screw that up. Port St. Lucie. There it is.
So, well, and I want to get.
I look forward to meeting him. What's that, ma'am?
Yeah, no, Tommy was such a warrior back in the COVID days, too. There were so many of us that have been in this fight for a long time. You know, we pushed back against those mandates. I know Tommy was a huge voice for that. That's where a lot of, you know, the pressure he's gotten on himself has come from, and not on himself, by a fascist government. And our government is behaving in fascist ways, too. It behaved fascist against all of you J6ers. And frankly, continues to do so. They're now knocking on the doors. The FBI is still knocking on the doors. Of folks. The FBI is knocking on the doors of folks who oppose Israel right now and asking them about their social media posts. We still have these measures that are trying to control speech.
We're going the same way of England. That's the goal. Obviously, the goal, and it's going to come through right now, it's through the lens of being, if you're an anti-Semite, they're going to take away your free speech. Like we had Pam Bondi, which was really bizarre, after Charlie Kirk was shot at some press conference she was giving, talking about, oh, it's all the anti-Israel rhetoric on the college campuses must be stopped. So what's it got to do with Charlie Kirk's death? So, and then she said, you know, that's not free speech. Hey, I hate to break it to you, Pam. I don't know what law school you went to, but all speech is protected speech, unless it actually is criminal.
It is so critical. Yeah. It is so critical that we protect all speech. And that's one of the reasons that they have divided us up into this tribal mentality, left and right. You know, that's why they pay for the sedition hunters. They pay to build Antifa. So they get that violent interaction so that we feel we can never communicate with the other side. They're evil. They're unbearable. And because of that, we continue to have this phenomenon where we can never break through the actual corruption. Right. And so they can use that corruption on either side. And this is what we talked about with the Democrats on the subcommittee. They're going to use the DOJ as a weapon. They will use it against your liberal voters just as well as they used it against Trump's conservative voters. It will continue to happen until we purge the criminals in the DOJ that do criminal lawfare behavior.
But the DOJ, here's the problem. Whether it's under a Democrat or under a Trump, the DOJ works for the deep state, just like the FBI and the CIA. Mm-hmm. So those members of Congress, maybe with a few exceptions, don't really care. They don't care. They don't care about any of their own constituents. What they might care about is being run out of office. That's about it.
Well, and they might care if their intern can't do anything but answer a phone every single day for 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row. They start to care when you make them care.
Sounds good.
And that's the point.
They don't care.
No, Congress doesn't do anything. They are useless. They're the most useless group of people we have on earth. But if you make them care, if you engage, that's why lobbying is such a big business, because it is effective to pressure them. It does get results. They wouldn't spend billions and trillions of dollars doing it if it didn't get results.
Right.
So what we've all just got to accept that it's not the dollar amount. I mean, look, I can't send Congressman Massey on an all expenses paid trip to Israel to go kiss the wall, but I don't think he wants that anyway.
No.
What I can do is make sure that he gets lots of phone calls when he does the right thing and he gets that support. I can make sure that his constituents are happy to get those donation emails. They have to continue to raise funds throughout the time.
Well, you know what's interesting?
It's not just that vote. It's whether or not you're willing to send them $5 or receive their email. That access to you is a vital value. It's a transactional value that you can exchange for leverage against your elected officials. You need to be using that access to yourself as leverage against your politicians.
Well, I will say this. With a man like Massey, just as it was for Ron Paul, who I was honored to work for, with men like that, who are men of principle, they don't really care if you give money or not. But they got money from across
the... But they need it nonetheless.
Sure.
They need it nonetheless.
And they
and
got
support,
it.
That validation provide. It's just like when you have a toddler, you know, when you have a kid in school, you know, telling them what a good job. That gold star on the paper gets that extra effort the next time they want another gold star. It's Congress too. Those little gold stars of, hey, I love what you said. I love what you did on this vote. I love that you're fighting for this mission. Call them when they do good things. You will get more good things. That's actually the most effective way to move a Congress member, is push them in a direction they're already going. It's much harder to push them in a direction they don't want to go. So pushing them in the direction that they're doing good things will get you a much better Congress member.
Like when they voted in favor of releasing the Epstein files, even though it was kind of screwed up, you know, the law had all kinds of loopholes in it. But my point is that Ron Paul, like Massey now, he got donations from all over the country because everyone in the country looked at their own rep and said, our rep's a piece of crap, who's an oath breaker, not following the Constitution. But that one guy from Texas is, I'm going to send him money. And now it's Massey. Right. So, and I think that's fantastic. Because the machine.
Well, and that is a way that you can get influence over Congress members that aren't your Congress member, by engaging them, by becoming someone who is on their donor email list, that gets those emails, that are interacting with the campaign. You, in any state, can still have a voice and have your voice heard by these warriors in Congress. So we can be using these tough guys. You're not stuck with the bad, lame ones you have. You can reach out to the other ones, and this is that's one of the ways that you can do it.
Amen. But we need more Masseys.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, a lot more.
Now, I'm not gonna out this guy just yet, but I happened to be at an event here in Texas and ran into a longtime conservative I've known for like since back in the day of when I founded Oath Keepers. And I said, hey, do you think we're going to get more Thomas Masseys or more Ron Pauls? And he's like, I hope not. They don't get anything done. We need people in there that are going to, you know, work as a team and all this kind of stuff. I look at this guy like, this is like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Where'd this guy go that I knew before? Now he sounds like a rhino. We need more Masseys. We need more Marjorie Taylor Greens. We need more Ron Pauls, Rand Pauls. We need more that are willing to say no to the agenda and call it out.
Exactly. Sometimes getting nothing done is getting everything done.
Yeah.
If we had not gotten done sending money to Ukraine, if we had not gotten done these big omnibus bills, if we had not, they're robbing us blind. They're corrupting our laws by getting too much done. This is why I actually love when they go on shutdown, because they can't ruin anything. Unfortunately, they shut down agencies that we need to continue to function. And they do that on purpose to take the pressure on we.
The
pressure on we, the people. They are trying to make us angry at the process. That's all a manipulated process. They don't need to do that ever. They're doing that to pit us against each other.
Yeah. So they do the shutdown because they can say, my constituents, I had no choice. Otherwise, the veterans wouldn't get their disability checks. Or otherwise, planes will fall out of the sky, or whatever their excuse is.
That's why Ron Paul would be like,
I don't care. No, the answer is
no. That's why they have the big bill that's named, you know, let's save all the puppies. And then in there is funds for, you know, Ukraine, right? That's how they do that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, they expect us not to read, and they'll get all our emotions all involved. And that's one of the reasons getting directly involved, getting those emails from the different, from your candidates, from your campaign, from different Congress members, because then you're going to get that insider info. They're going to start to tell you when votes are coming up, when they have bills that are actually pushing. You're going to see more of that insider play go on in Congress. And the meat grinder is where the changes can be made. Once a bill is already ready to be voted on or not voted on, we have very little say. But we the people can have far more engagement, far more ability to move Congress if we're moving it far before the legislative process occurs. And frankly, legislation is not the most effective way Congress members can be used. Their voice, their access to media, their microphone is far more useful than their ability to create legislation. They can amplify an issue and get pressure on it and make it happen more than we can, because they just have that access. So getting them to parrot what you need them to talk about, that's actually as effective as getting them to try to pass a bill.
Like the other day when I was at two events, I spoke to Chip Roy in person after one candidate event. He's running for attorney general. And then I also spoke at another event, Fredericksburg Tea Party, and spoke to his other rep that was there that day. So, for example, I'm going to encourage them to, you know, approach the White House and find out why have I not got a pardon yet. I'm going to give my pardon application. So I would encourage all the other J6ers out there who still need a pardon, do the same thing. Go talk to your member of Congress, whether they're running for office right now or not, and say, hey, you know, a letter from you, an inquiry from a congressman, has more weight than an inquiry from a citizen. You know, like we have a better chance.
I'm going to teach everybody something really important about politics, because in normal society, nagging somebody too much, it's you think they're going to not do what you want. They're going to cut you off. They won't want to talk to you.
If you're negative, you mean.
We explain to you in politics, it is the exact opposite. The squeaky wheel gets the grease in politics. The person who nags and nags and nags and nags and nags, eventually that congress member, that representative is going to want to do what you want them to just to make you go away. And it is very different. Do not get that sentiment that you can nag too much, that you cannot.
But do you do it in a positive way or a negative way? It just depends on the issue.
I think a little bit of both sometimes. Okay. Sometimes, you know, we need the spice. Sometimes we need the sugar. You know, but you want to do it in a way that's respectful, responsible, and consistent. Consistent. Engage, get the emails of that staffer, get the emails so that you can go back and forth. When you send them something, when you say, hey, I want you to do this, I would like to hear back from the Congress member what they plan to do. Demand a response. You know, that back and forth engagement is what gives real long-term leverage. It's not just showing up in the office. There's so many lobbying groups. They spend so much money matching T-shirts, and everybody shows up and they walk around the halls. We see them all the time here in Congress. But, you know, the Congress member shows up, they give you a little handshake, and nothing changes on those issues. Where the real work gets done is getting the constant interaction with those staffers that can actually push those issues forward, push those issues into the agenda of the Congress member, and push them ultimately into legislation.
Amen. And on that point, we learned that lesson in Ron Paul's office. We would get boxes of these petitions. And it's like these pre-formed petitions, they just mail everywhere. And it's like, that is nowhere near the same weight as the phone call from a constituent saying, I live in your district, I want you to vote this way. That is more of an impact than a bunch of petitions.
Well, and that's why Impact has never, you know, paid to have, you know, volunteers to do calls. We do calls to action for regular citizens. And your voice as a regular citizen has way more weight than an organization. I know, because I call Congress all the time and they ask me who I'm with. And if I say I'm just a regular citizen, that attention is so much higher, because they expect lobbying groups to talk to them. They expect them to get called. People get paid to do that. It's a job. They don't pay as much attention. When you have taken time out of your day as a citizen from your work, right? It's costing you money. It's costing you time to make this effort. That is a huge step up when it comes to pressure. And we have far more pressure than the lobbying groups do. We just need to coalesce it.
And it's for the reason you said earlier. They calculate for every phone call they're getting from an average constituent, there's 40 behind them, at least, who feel the same way.
One person equals 1,000 people back home.
Oh, 1 to 1,000. Okay.
1,000.
Right.
Okay. One person calling, 1,000 people back home. That's how the numbers.
The 1 to 1,000 ratio. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, 1 to 1,000. That's why 10 calls is a big deal. 40 calls is a big deal. Why you can actually make a real difference with small.
That's right. You said 40. You think 40 is a magic number.
A little book club or whatever to call 1 week. You know, you don't have. We all have 40 friends on our Facebook page. You yourself, every one of us can be a citizen activist and put out calls to action to our friends to get things done.
Don't identify yourself as being from the local book club. Say, I'm just a constituent. And all your friends.
No, just be you. An American. Yeah, gotcha. Just be an American.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. And that's actually tracks with what we learned with the Liberty Committee. You don't say you're with this group or that group. You just say, I'm a constituent. I want you to vote this way. Here's how I feel about this issue. This is a critical issue for me. Boom. That's all you got to do. And you don't got to give them a bunch of long arguments. Just say, hey, I am for or against this bill on liberty grounds, whatever it is, you know, your conviction. And it's boom.
You got to talk to Congress kind of like you talk to like a first grader or something. You don't want to too much explanation, too much confusion. They're not going to understand the assignment. Right. You want it super simple. You know, talk a little slow sometimes. You know, many of these folks are millennials and zillennials, right? They're struggling. So just be patient, but certainly keep it simple. Keep it simple and keep it direct and strong. Don't placate. Don't beg. Don't say please. Right. Demand. You are their boss.
So what would you tell?
Work for you.
What would you tell the base America Firsters out there. I'm an American Christian nationalist. That's how I identify myself now, in America only, period. That's where I'm at. So what would you tell, I think you're probably in the same boat. So what would you tell all the other America Firsters out there? What do you want them to pressure their Congress critter, President Trump, to do? What's your high priority list, real quick?
We need to stop this war. We need to de-escalate the war as quickly as possible. We need to prosecute everyone on the Epstein list. We need to question Israel as to their Mossad program that uses Epstein. This is a grave concern for me. We are actually allying with nations that have blackmail programs that are being used against our own politicians. We need answers for that. We need answers from our own CIA and their involvement in this. We need these immediately, now, like yesterday. We need to stop focusing on whether or not we're going to win the midterms. I don't understand everyone saying this. They steal elections. Stop worrying about whether or not we can vote our way out of the problem. Pressure your politicians to do the things we need done. That's the only way we're going to ever get out of the problem. Votes or otherwise. We're never going to get the country back. We're never going to get the accountability for election integrity we need if we do not use our leverage to show these politicians that we, the people, are a force to be reckoned with.
Amen. And that's actually, ironically, the only way the Republicans are going to hold on to anything in the midterms is if they get off their rear ends and start getting back on track with America First. So
yeah, make Trump do that. Calling Trump, calling the White House, 202-456-1111. Sending out emails, whitehouse.gov, putting pressure on Trump to do what the base has wanted, to live up to those base promises. Agenda 47, they took it off the website. We all still have copies. We know what you promised, Mr. Trump. We need to help him to live up to those promises so that the base can rally around him again. Right now, the country needs to be rallying around this president, but he's doing the wrong thing. And until he does the right thing, we can't rally around him. So we need to bring our country together. But the first thing we need to do is make sure our employee in the White House is doing what we hired him to do.
Which is what? Drain the swamp?
Well, it's not fighting war and wars. It's not protecting elite pedophiles. It is not continuing to hire corrupt individuals at the DOJ. It is not continuing to drag out these forms of lawfare. It is not any of these things. It is not continuing to allow foreign influencers to impact our policies. And frankly, it's not continuing to hire lobbyists in his White House. He needs to fire Susie Wiles.
Yeah, absolutely. No, well said. 100%. Everything you said was fantastic. Now I would add this, though. Right now, the easy button for him to help redeem himself with his own base is to free Tina Peters. Maduro in friggin' Venezuela, you can go get Tina Peters out of Colorado as a material witness, put her in the White House as your guest, and have her do a press conference from the Oval Office right there at the Resolute desk, and your 100%. Base will be on fire. That's what he should do.
100%. And, you know, I will add this, and this is slightly humorous, but it's only so humorous.
We got 30 seconds Trump left.
If President Trump has a real itch to drop a nuke, I think there's a little island out there named Little St. James that could certainly use it. And I think the world would be very grateful to see that as well. So we can turn that into open water, Mr. Trump. And I think the world would appreciate you as well. That earned you some votes as well, sir.
All right. Hey, Suzanne, it was awesome to talk to you again. God bless you. And keep driving on. Let me know how I can help you, okay?
We definitely will. We got a country to save.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks. Honor to be here. God bless America. Peace.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
Thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at theellishowstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.